Grace to you and peace from God our Father, from Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, and from the Holy Spirit, our Comforter. Amen. Let's start out today with a few readings from the Gospels, a few short readings. You find the theme for me in these readings, okay? Luke 5, verse 27. After this, Jesus went out, and a tax collector named Levi was sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, "Follow me," and he left everything and followed him. You can also look then at Matthew chapter 4. As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. Then one more here in John chapter 10, verse 4. When the shepherd has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. What's the theme from all of these scriptures? Following our Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, Jesus says, "If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there shall my servant be also." And today, what I'd like to talk about with you today is, what is that road like where Jesus calls us to follow? Is it a hard road, or is it an easy road? Is it a mountain, or is it a valley? Is it full of joys and blessings, or is it full of pain, toil, hardship, and trouble? What is the Christian life like? And it's very important, I think, for us to ask that question, because if we don't have a good grasp of it, we might get discouraged if we think it's all easy and we meet trouble, or we might get discouraged if we think it's all trouble and not also a joy, feeling like we'll never have joy. So today, what is that road that Jesus calls us to walk with him according to God's word, so that fortified by this, we may be able to walk it with joy in the midst even of trouble? So is it pain? Is it trouble? Is it joy? Is it blessings and happiness? Is it easy? Is it hard? Is it a mountain or is it a valley? Let's take a look and see what God's word has to say to us about these things. Well, first of all, I think many people come to Christ thinking that it's going to be easy. In fact, that life, your hard life, is now going to be a breeze and your troubles will be over because you came to Jesus. I know that example in my life. I was once a chaplain at the hospital in Baltimore, and I witnessed to a patient who was a prostitute, a woman in the night, a lady of the evening. And she had lived a very hard life, drugs, abuse, pain, toil, you name it, terrible stuff. And I told her she needs to come to Christ for forgiveness and for eternal life. And she listened attentively. She listened to me. And she came to Jesus Christ. She wanted it. And I baptized her shortly thereafter. And then a couple days later, I was on duty again. And I went to visit her to see how she was doing. And she was on the phone, and she was fidgety and out of sorts and distressed, kind of a little out of her mind, upset. And then she saw me, and she berated me. And she said, "This is not what you said the Christian life was going to be like. I thought this was supposed to be easy, and I feel nothing but pain and toil. It's hard. It's harder than my life is worse than it was before. This is not what it's supposed to be." And so she came to Christ thinking all of her troubles would be over and easy. I didn't tell her that. I told her that come to Christ and Jesus will forgive you all of your sins and eternal life be granted you. But I didn't tell her it was going to be all cakes and ale and easy, roses. I think a lot of us can get into that same kind of thinking. That if we're a Christian and we've really truly come to Jesus Christ, everything should go well with us. Because after all, we're now reconciled to God. And in fact, all is well with us and our souls. But does that mean that you're going to have a trouble-free life? And again, I want to stress why this is important, why we have to grasp this. If you don't have a firm grasp of the road that Jesus has called you to walk, and you think it's going to be all easy, when you face hardships and troubles and toils and adventures and valleys, what's going to happen to your faith? You are going to fall away, or at least think somehow that God has forsaken you, or he's not with you, or he doesn't care about you anymore. Think about that parable Jesus told about the man who went out to sow seed. Remember that one? Amen? Sow some seed, the birds come and snatch it. That's the devil, takes away the word, right? Then he sows some seed on rocky soil. And what's Jesus say there? He says, and the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy, but these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of temptation, they fall away. At the first sign of trouble on account of the word and the road of Christ, they immediately turn back to the world. Because why? They weren't prepared for trouble, and they hadn't sent the roots deep into Jesus Christ. And so I think even we mature Christians can get into this kind of thinking. As I myself have experienced through all my pain and toil over the last month with going through Beth's surgeries, and it's been very difficult. And you know, these questions and thoughts occur in your mind. In my mind, God, are you angry with me? Have I done something wrong? Have I done something to offend you? Why is all this happening to us? Why is all this coming upon us? That kind of thinking. Has the Lord cast me off or something? Reminds me of Psalm 22. Why art thou so far from helping me, from the words of my groaning? Which actually is a word of Christ in that psalm. I want us to know something today and to fix it in our minds. That pain and trouble is a part of the Christian life. Can you accept that? And let that be understood that that is not the sum total of your road in Christ, but it is part of the path. If you're going anywhere in this world on a journey, you might expect to meet mountains and valleys, right? Why do we think in Christ we're only going to have mountains? On the road to heaven and to glory, it is through mountains and valleys. And don't think just because you came to Christ, you're going to escape the thorns of this world. That is suffering. Because guess what? We all are going to go through that. That's the road Jesus leads us on. What's God tell us about the road that Jesus leads us on in the way? Hard or easy? It's hard. Look, for example, if you will, at some Old Testament situations. God saved his people out of Egypt, right? By a great and almighty and outstretched arm, and plagues and locusts and hailstones and the Passover, and God saved his people out of these, and not one plague of all these touched them. Then they crossed through the Red Sea as if on dry ground, while Pharaoh and all his army and his host were drowned in the depths of the sea, and God saved his people out of Egypt. That's all great and wonderful, isn't it? Then what's the next lesson line? What happens? Verse 22 of Exodus 15. Then Moses led Israel onward from the Red Sea to Brighton, England, where they had fun on Ferris wheels and ate cotton candy. No. And they went into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. What? You just saved the people, Lord, and now you're leading them into the wilderness? The place of owls and jackals, and where you have the south wind with its scorching heat and scorpions and no water to drink. Where is God going to lead you? He's got good things planned for you. The Christian life is a great and a good life, but there is a wilderness to pass through, right? When they came to Marah, they could drink no water there. Because it was bitter. Therefore it was named Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. So God saved his people, provided for them in the wilderness, right? But look, they went through wilderness again and again, 40 years. They're out there in the wilderness till they get to the promised land. What about your lives? What do you expect? What are we prepared for? Take also, for example, our Old Testament reading, Jeremiah. Now, he was preaching the word of God. He was doing everything right. There was not a sin in his life that we know about. Jeremiah 38, we read this. Let's go there for a second. It says, now, Shephatiah, Gedaliah, Pashur, Jukal, and Pashur heard the words that Jeremiah was saying to all the people. Thus says the Lord, he who stays in the city shall die by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence. He who goes out to the Chaldeans shall live. At this time, the Babylonian army is surrounding Jerusalem. And Jeremiah is saying, surrender to him and you'll live. The princes heard this. They didn't like that. They said, they went to the king and they said, he's weakening the hands of the people by these words. The king says, he's in your hands. So they took Jeremiah and cast him into the well, the pit of Malchiah, the king's son, which was in the court of the guard, letting Jeremiah down by ropes. And there was no water in the cistern, but only mire. And Jeremiah sank in the mire. What did he get for all the good that he was doing? Mud. Right? That's what he received for all the good and righteousness that he did for the Lord. He got mud in a pit, left all alone. Do you ever feel like you're that way? Of course, until the Lord draws him out later and saves his life and does great things for him, but that's an ouch, isn't it? That's what he got for doing it, mud, until later. Job says this in Job 5, man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. You ever see a fire? Sparks coming up for it? So also man is born to trouble. Look at Paul's road. Paul was the greatest evangelist of all time. What do we read in 2 Corinthians? 5 times I've received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. 3 times I've been beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times shipwrecked. A night and a day adrift at sea. In danger from rivers, robbers, my own people, Gentiles. Danger in the city, in the wilderness. Danger at sea. Danger from false brethren, and toil and hardship through many a sleepless night, and hunger and thirst, often without food, and cold and exposure. What was his life like? Christ said, come follow me. He followed him, and he endured suffering, right, and trouble. So what does that tell you about the Christian life? There is going to be trouble. And so when it comes, we should not think that God has somehow forsaken us or cast us off or he's angry with us or that he's abandoned us. Just like in this last month with Beth going through all these difficult times and those temptations get coming to me, I have to hold up the shield of faith and say, this is part of the Christian life. And God's doing great things in it. But often we say with Habakkuk, why dost thou make me look on wrongs and look upon trouble? O Lord, how long shall I cry for help and thou wilt not hear? A cry to thee violence, and thou wilt not save. You ever feel like that? David says in Psalm 10, why dost thou stand afar off, O Lord? Why dost thou hide thyself in times of trouble? In arrogance the wicked hotly pursue the poor. Let them be caught in the schemes which they have devised. You ever think about that? Where are you, God? Why aren't you just coming in and, boom, making it all good and right? Well, the Lord works mysteriously, friends. The point is the Christian road is not easy, and it shouldn't surprise us if it isn't, because God's told us everywhere in his word that it will be. We will have those things. God hasn't cast you off. Such is the case of all the saints. And who do you know in the Christian life, in Christ, who you can say, I have no troubles? Now, as a pastor, I have the privilege of knowing a lot of you, some of you very well, some of you some. I can point to each and every one of you and know something of your troubles and say, ah, that's your trouble. I know yours. Over there, I know what you're going through. I won't mention them, but Beth has suffered greatly in the last month. God has not cast her off or cast us off. I think of her, not only her past month, but of her past life. Do you know her childhood was very abusive? She grew up in a lot of violence. She wrote a poem once about a cardboard box she used. She called the hiding place. It was the only place she felt safe. And she's had a lot of difficulties. I always look at her as the flower, the colorful flower that grew up in the crack of a sidewalk. Just found a little soil and grew up all beautiful. And, you know, a couple years ago, God told her at a conference, I'm going to heal you in this life. And we've believed that word. What happened after he gives us that good word? More pain, trouble, surgeries, difficulties. But is God working through all these things to fulfill his word to her, to heal her in this life? And here's the great paradox, I think, friends, is that oftentimes in life, the unbelievers are the ones that seem to be having an easier, more fun, happier life sometimes than the Christians who have to endure suffering. And why is that? Because the road of Christ in this world is opposed to the devil. We buck against the currents of this world and against our own sinful passions. The world just goes right along with them, happily, but to a waterfall. But we are bucking against these, and it's not easy, but difficult. So I think it's very dangerous for us Christians, or any Christian, to evangelize in this way, saying, come to Christ, and everything in your life will be better. You'll be happier, healthier, have a more fulfilling sex life, you'll just be in the money. Now, those things may be true, but to say that and not prepare people for the danger and trouble that is before us is wrong, because Jesus said, enter by the narrow gate. The gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. So you ready for that? As the sparks fly upward, trouble. But guess what? What's the good news? In Christ, actually, our life is easy and made good. Listen to this good word here we find in Psalm 34, verse 17. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. What do you learn in that verse? The righteous face troubles, but God saves them out of troubles. He doesn't save us from troubles, but he saves us through troubles and out of them. Isn't that a good word? How many does he save us out of? It says again here, the Lord saves them out of them all. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. And in another psalm, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. Isn't that a good word? You have troubles today. Can you name some for me? You don't have to name them out loud. But the good news is, as a Christian, he says, call on me. I'll save you through them, not from them, but through them, and I'll bring you out of them on the other side, and I'll restore your fortunes twofold and more, as he did with Job. He's done that with me in my life. I mean, I've been saved from so many things. I won't get into them all now. But this is a true word for you to lay hold of today when you're suffering. And through our sufferings, he's doing great things in us. God told Beth a little while ago, and we believe that as a prophetic word. We don't often hear the Lord speak to us that way, personally. But I'm going to heal you in this life. And then she goes through a lot of other sufferings. And this last month, she's had two surgeries. One through this bone and another craniotomy, brain surgery, basically. And we were wondering what's going on. Do you know what God has been doing? We thought that meant he's just going to heal her in this life physically. But you know, he's been doing wondrous things in our hearts, in our spirits, and in our minds, and in our emotions to heal us far more abundantly than we expected. In between the two surgeries, Beth was up in Boston with Jennifer, a friend of hers, and they were praying because she was in so much pain and she was having spinal fluid dripping down her throat, and then they put on a praise song, and as she was praying, she said she forgot Jennifer, and it was just her and Jesus, and she felt Jesus, all of his light just flood into her and accept her and love her. And she says, all my life, since I've come to Christ, I've known I'm saved, I've had it up here, but I've never really felt accepted like that. And she said, when that happened, it was just me and Jesus, and I was washed of all those things, and I know he's with me. She went into her second surgery, 5 hours, 4 hours of brain surgery. She went in there singing hymns or singing thanksgivings and gratitude and cheerful. For the first time in her life, she says, I'm not afraid of death. Isn't that wonderful? God says, I'm going to heal you in this life, get more pain and suffering. Through the pain and suffering, he teaches her, I'm healing you not only in your body, Beth. I'm going to heal you in your soul. I'm going to heal you in your mind. I'm going to heal you in your emotions. I'm going to make you a whole individual. That's a beautiful thing God does with us through pain. As it says in Job, listen to this word in Job. Are you with me? He delivers the afflicted by their affliction and opens their ears by adversity. Do you think God's doing that with you? He's delivering the afflicted by your affliction, and he's opening your ears by adversity. We want to just shirk off and get rid of pain. God's using that pain, friends, and he's using it to do marvelous things in you before the day that he actually sets you entirely free, which he's promised to do also. And he's done this with all the saints. Job, David, Jeremiah, Peter, Paul, James, John, Beth. Name the saint. I'll name for you the trouble, but I'll also name for you the deliverance and the countless blessings that have come through that suffering, as is evident in all of these saints. So don't be alarmed, friends. Peter says, rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, so that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. Are you feeling a little peace coming into your heart on account of this? Some encouragement when you face troubles? And what is the greatest proof of all this stuff? What's the answer to every Bible question I ever ask you? Jesus Christ. What was his life like through this road, through this world? Scriptures say he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We know that he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. That's a hard road. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. Great purpose in his suffering, right? Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and with his stripes were healed. For all of us like sheep have gone astray, and the Lord has laid on him the sins of us all. Christ's road was hard, but it was a hard and suffering road for your salvation, for all time. And guess what? His life has now made our Christian life actually easy. It's not all valleys, you know. It's not all pain and trouble. It is mountains and joy and peace. For we are so better off than anybody else. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest, says Jesus. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, from gentle and lowly heart. You'll find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Christian life is easy, really. It's light, because that big backpack of sins has fallen off of our backs. We walk through with a free conscience. We walk through also with the help that comes from God. Paul said in his journey, to this day I've had the help that comes from God through all of his sufferings. And we also read, if God is for us, who is against us? He strengthens our hearts. He inclines his ear. He stretches out his hand to help us, to cause us to endure, and to bring us out of all our distresses into triumph. God has a time when he's going to act for you, friends. He says that in Psalm 12, because the poor are despoiled, because the needy groan, I will now arise, says the Lord, and I will place him in the safety for which he longs. There's a time when he's going to rise and set you free. He leads us in good paths, and there's great joy in them, blessings of family and fun even in life. We receive with thanksgiving, for the Lord delights in the welfare of his servants. Don't miss those blessings, for God is with the generation of the righteous. You would confound the plans of the Lord, of the poor, but the Lord is his refuge. And then we pray, oh, that deliverance for Israel would come out of Zion. When the Lord restores the fortunes of his people, Jacob shall rejoice and Israel shall be glad. Do you believe in the day of your fortunes being restored? In your present affliction, do you believe that God is going to set you free, whatever it may be? You can rejoice in that. He's promised to do it, to save you out of all of your troubles. In his time, and in the midst of it, to do great and wondrous things through your pain. So, a concluding word, as God has saved us in Christ, Peter says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that in due time he may exalt you. Cast all your cares on him, because he cares about you. He's not cast you off. He loves you. Resist the devil, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experience of suffering is required of your brotherhood throughout the world. We're all going through it, the troubles. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has caused you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, establish, and strengthen you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen.